The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 8th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Then Jesus began to teach them that the Son of Man must undergo great suffering and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. He said all this quite openly, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But turning and looking at his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." He called the crowd with his disciples and said to them, "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it. For what will it profit them to gain the whole world and forfeit their life? Indeed, what can they give in return for their life? Those who are ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of them the Son of Man will also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father and with the holy angels." The Gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you,
O Christ. You may be seated. Before we get too much farther, just kind of piggybacking from our children's time, our kids already know how to talk about Jesus, because when we came up after the announcements and I got to my chair, I've got this little card here. This little thing says, "God loves you." What a wonderful thing. And Cora, thank you so much, Cora. Yeah. And now she's blushing. This is going to go on the wall of my office. Is that okay? All right. Good deal. Thank you so much, sweetie. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Just to kind of set the tone a little bit, the lectionary that we're following right now doesn't include the very first part of this gospel text. For whatever reason, they left off the first couple of verses. So I'm going to read again a little bit of the gospel text, beginning from where the original, we call them pericopes, the lessons, where it starts. It starts on the 27th verse of the 8th chapter of Mark. "Jesus went on with his disciples to the villages of Caesarea Philippi. And on the way, he asked his disciples, 'Who do the people say that I am?' And they answered him, 'John the Baptist. Others say Elijah, and still others one of the prophets.' And he asked them, 'But who do you say that I am?' And Peter answered him, 'You are the Messiah.' And he sternly ordered them not to tell anyone about them." It was after this exchange where Jesus began to teach them about the Son of Man and how he must go to Jerusalem and be handed over and killed, and openly tell them about just what is to, in the near future, that would be happening in his life and in his ministry. But he asked a great question, and so it's a question that I would ask of you. Who do you say Jesus is? It doesn't sound like a very hard question. If I gave each one of you a slip of paper and asked you to write down your answer, who do you say Jesus is? In fact, you have a blank sheet at the back of your bulletin. Take your pencil real quick, you know, and write down on that back blank page, who is Jesus? Just go ahead and jot it down. You know, I'm sure that as you think about it, and you write down your answer in there, who is Jesus? I bet a lot of you would write down the Son of God. And I'm sure that more of you would probably write down Jesus is the Messiah. A few more might say Jesus is the Lord. A few more might even say Jesus is the Lamb of God. You know what? You'd all pass the test. You'd all be right. But what if I asked you another question? What if I asked you to define what you wrote? That's one of the things that one of my favorite professors back in seminary would do. Dr. Iago he had this wonderful question that he used to ask at the beginning of theology classes. Who is Jesus and why does he matter? We can all answer, who is Jesus? The why does he matter? That requires a little bit of thought. You know, he'd give us 1,500 words and say, okay, by the next class period, which would be 2 days later, in a 1,500-word essay, I want you to answer that question. Who is Jesus? Why does he matter? Suddenly, Messiah, Savior, Lord, those words, which are all true and all good words, suddenly they just don't seem adequate. First of all, you got to fill up several pages. You got to give them 1,500 words. But it's an opportunity for you to think. To think about who Jesus truly is. Then you would go ahead and turn in your essay, and he would call you one by one to his office. You had to make an appointment with him. He'd sit there in his rocking chair, in his dimly lit office. He had a lamp over his rocking chair so he could see, but you couldn't. And he'd have a cup of tea right there, and he'd be on it with his pipe in his mouth, and he'd be rocking back and forth, and he'd be reading your paper. And you'd sit there with all this silence, and you're wondering, this ain't going well. And then he'd get to a word, he'd tell you, David, why don't you unpack this word a little bit? Define it a little bit more. You'd get your paper back. It would have words circled and, you know, notes on there, unpack this. Or he'd ask you right then and there. You know, that's what Jesus does for Peter. Jesus asked the disciples, who do you say that I am? And Peter, being who he is, he got the answer right away. You're the Messiah, the Christ. You're the Messiah. And Jesus says, you're right. But you notice he doesn't ask Peter to unpack that phrase. Jesus does it for him. Jesus begins teaching him and the rest of the disciples and the rest of the crowd the things that are going to happen to him. Right away, Peter speaks up. Right away, Jesus begins to teach. The Son of Man must suffer. The Son of Man must be turned over. The Son of Man must be crucified. He must be killed so he can rise on the third day. How many of you wrote that on your paper? You know, how many of you would have given Jesus this answer if he would have asked you? It'd be okay if you didn't, because the disciples didn't either. In fact, Peter took the opposite. Peter took Jesus aside and said, no way, this isn't going to happen to you. You're the Messiah. Messiahs don't get turned over. Messiahs don't get crucified. Messiahs don't die. Far be it that this ever happens to you. And that's when Jesus put Peter back in his place. Get behind me, Satan. You're a hindrance to me. In effect, what he told Peter was, look here, I'm the teacher, you're the student. I'm the one who you follow, you're the follower. Jesus said that to the disciples and everybody else who was nearby. They all heard it. And then he went even further. What good would it do for you to save your life in this world? What good would it do for you? If you're following the Messiah, if you're following the Christ, the Lord, you're going to do as the teacher teaches you to do. Deny yourself. Take up your cross. Follow me. So again, that question, who is Jesus and why does he matter? Yes, he is the Messiah. He is the Christ. But he's not the Messiah that the Jews were thinking of. If they were to define the Messiah, they wouldn't be thinking about somebody who was going to give his life for the sake of others. He didn't come simply to restore the kingdom of Israel. He didn't simply come to restore the throne to the Davidic line. Jesus is the one who came to reconcile sinners. Jesus is the one who came to forgive the sins of God's people. Jesus didn't come to defeat Rome. He came to defeat sin. He came to defeat death. He came to defeat the grave and all the powers of the devil. This Messiah, the one they've been looking for, was sent into the world to bear the sin of the entire world, to take it to the cross and put it to death forever. That's what Jesus defines for us when he tells us about the Messiah. You know, then comes the hard part. If that wasn't the hard enough at all, you know, here comes the hard part. Jesus said to his followers, deny yourselves and take up your cross. See, it's not just simply knowing who Jesus is. It's not just simply knowing why Jesus matters. It's following Jesus in his footsteps, doing the things the teacher has taught the student. Martin Luther puts it best when he says, God's people, Christians, we are to be imitators of Christ. Jesus wasn't just making a suggestion. Jesus was telling it like it is. Deny yourself. Take up your cross. Follow me. Those who want to save their life, you will lose it. And those who will lose their life for my sake, you will save it for all eternity. You know, when we get to this point in the text, when we get to this critical juncture right here in Jesus' words, it's hard to escape the fact that Jesus is also asking, though he's not saying the words, he's also asking another question. No longer is Jesus asking, who do you say that I am? Jesus is now asking, who do you say you are? How would you answer that question? How would you answer that question? You probably might write down there on the back page of your bulletin, I'm a Christian. You might put down, I'm a follower of Jesus. You might put down, I'm a disciple. You might put down, I'm a child of God. Again, all those are good answers. But they don't really answer the question, why does it matter? Such answers are easy to come by when we're in the church. They're easy to come by when we're gathered for Sunday school, or we're gathered for Bible study, or we're sharing a meal with all of God's people. Those answers come easy at this point. But what about those times when you're away from the church? What about those times when you're away from all the folks that are in this building right now? How do you take up your cross daily? How do you follow Jesus? To deny yourself means to discount your own wants and desires. Put them behind you. It means to discount your own opinions about things. To be less self-righteous. To live each day for the sake of your neighbor. You know, the trouble with that is we like our desires and our wants. You know, we're actually kind of attached to our opinions. If we weren't so attached to our opinions, why would we spend so much time telling everybody about them? And when we're not doing that, we're either gossiping or we're talking about our neighbor or we're letting other people know that person doesn't measure up. When we are apart from God's people, it is so easy for us to slip into the ways of the world. Into the ways of those who walk in darkness. You know, as you're walking through the world on your own, doing is what you do, and you're presented with a chance to choose the way of the cross or the way of the world, there are no neon lights that say, choose this one. You have to be able to do it on your own. You know, when it comes between helping someone or judging them, there's no bells and whistles that go off to give you the right answer. It's so easy to go along with what other people are saying. It's so easy to go along with what other people are doing. It's so easy to save your own life in this world when all you have to do is go with the flow. The way of the cross is much harder. The way of the cross contradicts the way of the world. It often puts us at odds with everybody we know, the people we work with, the people we study with, the people we go out and have fun with. You know, the world begs us to live in such a way where the spotlight shines squarely on us. The way of the cross shines light in only one direction. It shines light on Jesus Christ. It shines the light on the one who calls us to follow him. That's the long answer to the second question of who do you say that you are and why does it matter? Saved by the innocent and precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, claimed by God in baptism, you are a precious child of God. You are one whose sins are forgiven. You are one who has received the promise of eternal life. And so you are one who is to strive to follow the ways of your Lord, to pick up your cross and follow him. You know, you're going to stumble occasionally. We all do. Jesus is there to pick you up. Christ is there to feed you. He's there to nourish you. He's there to strengthen you. He's there to uphold you, to equip you, and to do all these things in the world. He's there to empower you to boldly proclaim the gospel, to tell others the good news. People of God, Jesus says, deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow him. It doesn't sound simple, because it isn't. But Jesus promises that no matter where we go, he will go with us. So who is Jesus? Why does he matter? Jesus is the Christ. He is the Son of God. He is God incarnate, Emmanuel, God with us. Jesus is the one who lived his life without sin. He's the one who gave his life for the sake of the world. Jesus is the one who lived in total obedience to God, yet was crucified for our sake so that we might live. Jesus matters because through him, we have life. We are worthy of God's forgiveness and mercy. So understanding this question, one question remains. People of God, who do you say that you are? You are the ones who follow the crucified and risen Lord. So deny yourself. Take up your cross and go share the good news of the gospel with your neighbor for the sake of their lives and for the sake of others, all those whom you would meet. Amen.